You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Mind control is a major theme in Fincher's work.
Come vengeance, Dave.
She's all right, you tell me.
Become wrath.
In Seven, the killer is using mind control to make people kill themselves. In the game, the main character is psychoanalyzed. His decisions are predicted. In Fight Club, the main character is a sleeper agent who is destined to fulfill his promise of mass destruction. Peter watches Videodrome.
Television is reality.
Videodrome is about how media can be used as a weapon. If you can think it, then you can make it reality.
The mind of North America will be fought in the video arena. The video drone. The television screen is the retina of the mind's eye. Therefore, the television screen is part of the physical structure of the brain. Therefore, whatever appears on the television screen emerges as raw experience for those who watch it.
We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be.
Cinema Crespediso.
What is up, guys? Welcome to episode 227 of Cinema Crespediso. I am your host, the host with the most, Chris Crespo. Follow me into the podcast wilderness. I am your guide through the...
You're so awful at the wilderness.
I am terrible at the wilderness. Don't follow me into it. I will take you to the resort. Follow me through the...
I'll take you to Podcast City.
Yeah.
He'll take you to Podcast City.
The jungle wilderness.
He's all about that.
It's the same wilderness.
The podcast wilderness, though.
Yeah.
Exactly. But if the grass is green, he'll be scared away.
He
doesn't do outdoors. He doesn't do grass. Doesn't do animals.
I like parks.
Trees.
Small parks in which you look up past the trees and you see towering buildings.
It's like that Nick Swanson soundbite where he goes, "Why would people spend hours making art of nature when they can just go out and stand in it?"
Seriously.
Right. Yes. Yes, that is correct. Current threat level is orange, the color orange. Your patriotism is recommended. Ooh, that is not good.
No.
That is scary, the times we live in. With us, it's co-host Drusa Cogburn. Drew, what's up, dude? Give us the weather report.
Chris, the weather report. It's sunny. I hope that helps you wherever you are.
I hope that helps you. That's your Crespediso weather report. Traffic report. I-4 is looking We have eight-time guests. Ooh, I hit the thing. I gotta be careful. We have eight-time guests. Don't give me that look.
It's not like you've been doing this for how many years?
Yeah, but we got new equipment stuff, and I was all frazzled. We didn't have internet for like 20 minutes, and then the plug I was using for the previous tablet wasn't plugging into the new tablet correctly, and I had to go find an old cable that fit it right. Oh, man.
Stay on point, Chris.
With us is eight-time guest from the Curtis Earth Show on WPRK and the inventor, master of Earth Trivia, voted Orlando's number one trivia night by the Orlando Weekly Readers Poll. A poll that I am on record as a saying is a bunch of bullshit. But it was voted number one. Come out and see why at the Fork and Cork every Wednesday. Cork and Fork.
Cork and Fork, not Fork and Cork.
Either or.
That's probably a different spot.
Fork and Cork. If there's a Fork and Cork in town, we're going to have some problems.
Ooh, let's find out.
Find out if there's a Fork and Cork, and then we're going to burn it down.
Take your Fork and Cork out of here now.
But then what if it burns, and then we're on the hook for it? We should erase the last 30 seconds of the show, at least.
yeah.
Great friend of the show, great friend of mine, trivia master, and now an eight-time guest, ladies and gentlemen, Curtis Earth is here.
Hello, everybody. Happy Mother's Day.
Yes.
Or as they call it in my place, Hangover Sunday.
Yeah, it is for sure. For many people, regardless of mother status.
Yes.
Hangover Sunday. How you doing besides nursing yourself back to health?
I'm doing good.
You doing
man.
Well?
As Drew mentioned, beautiful sunny day outside.
The sun is out.
It's a great day to be in a sunlight void studio.
Studio.
We did put up a soundproofing over
looks
the
like
windows.
NASA from outside. They got some space program shit going on in there.
From outside, it looks like there's some nefarious shit going on. Yeah. But when you come inside, it's like, oh, just a bunch of idiots.
What's talking on microphones?
Building in there.
Yeah, pretending to be important. Kurt, thank you for being here. We love when you're on the show. One of our favorite guests.
Thank you.
And we have a lot to talk about in the first half. We got a couple movies we're going to review and some box office stuff. So let's go ahead first and jump into the streaming pick of the week with the intro for that. Go ahead, Kurt, and use the randomizer.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Pick of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
All right.
Cinema Crespediso Streaming. And we do the streaming pick of the week each and every week on Cinema Crespediso. And the randomizer 9000.1 includes not only Netflix but Hulu and Amazon Prime and other services, streaming services as well. And you can check to see if these things are available on all sorts of rent or buy platforms via, what's the website, justwatch.com?
Justwatch.
It's a good website. They updated. But you have to make sure you put it in the search engine, let it load, and then click on the title. If you just hit enter, it's going to come up as no results. It's a little weird quirk. Doesn't matter. Kurt, please let everyone know, what is this week's streaming pick of the week?
Sicario.
Oh, shit.
From the Amazon folks.
Oh, shit. That's on that Amazon Prime. I'll go ahead and write that down there. Have you had a chance to see this one, Kurt?
No.
Sicario.
It's also on Hulu and Epix right now.
Is it really?
Yes.
There you go. So multiple ways to see Sicario. Thank you, Drew. This is Denis Villeneuve, the guy who just directed that sci-fi movie Arrival with Amy Adams. Remember that one? The aliens and the language one? And he has Blade Runner 2049 coming out this October.
I thought he did a good job with Arrival.
I thought so, too. A lot of people did. It was a very well-received movie, made some good money. He's got his career trajectory is for sure on the rise. It's going in the right direction. This one was the one he did before Arrival, and it has Emily Blunt as she's local SWAT, right?
Oh, FBI.
She's FBI? She's FBI, and she's involved in some raids in the beginning of the movie, and she gets recruited by Josh Brolin, who's like, oh, yeah, I'm part of this, you know, kind of sort of black ops government team, and it's part of the drug war,
okay,
and we like to recruit you. She finds out that they're also working with this guy, played by Benicio del Toro, but he's a Mexican hitman, she finds out very quickly. And he is not with any government. He's like a merc at this point.
I get you.
And she's like, I don't know about this. I'm going down a really scary rabbit hole of legalese and murky circumstances and danger.
Right. Who's the good guy? Who's the bad guy?
All in the name of the war on drugs, et cetera, et cetera.
And what is the name Sicario
actually says in the beginning of the movie. It gives you a little prompt. It says Sicario means hitman in Spanish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like Mexican dialect specifically or if it's Spanish all around. Sicario, I've never heard that word before. Yeah. It's not like I know Spanish. I don't know Spanish. I know cereza, baño. I know some very bad words that you're not supposed to say.
Yeah.
The fun ones. It's a great movie.
The colorful language.
It's a tense movie. It's like, ugh. And then even when there's like a stretch in the middle of the movie for like 5 minutes or so when things seem to be going okay, you know in the background, in the back of your mind, something's going to go horribly wrong. Yeah, because in this movie, in this world, yeah, exactly.
So you never quite unclench your butt while you're watching this. It's a butt clencher.
Yeah. The movie starts with a raid on a house.
And then,
yeah, it's a crazy raid where it's not even the things that happen, but it's like what they find. And then the way it's presented, long camera shots, and the music's like womp womp, like very intense droning music. It's really super well done.
Very tight end, yeah.
Yes, yeah, exactly. It's great attention.
It sets the mood for the entire film.
For the whole thing. And then, for the rest of the movie, you're like, oh my god, what's going to happen next? Really, really well done. They're working on a sequel to it because it did make enough money, and even though it's like a hard R movie, it made enough money and it's popular enough. They're working on a sequel, different director, but I think same writers, and it's going to focus on Josh Brolin and Benicio del Toro's characters, but I think it might be a prequel. Actually, if I remember correctly, the producer of Sicario 2 said that there's, quote, sequel to this movie. The story is going to have a couple of the same characters, but the story is going to be a standalone story so that you actually won't be able to tell if it takes place before the events of the first movie or after the events of that movie.
So you're in suspense on that?
Yeah. Like, or even that it doesn't even matter. Like, you can even see the sequel without seeing the first one.
Except for the fact that Benicio del Toro and...
will be older.
Yeah.
They will be physically be older.
Older.
That doesn't stop them from... like, that's... We always mention that when we're watching Better Call Saul.
Every time I watch it, I'm like, man, yeah. It's supposed to be a prequel, and Gus looks like a decade older.
Everyone is older. Everyone is looks, like, visibly older, yeah. And it's brutal.
It you is. Know, Chris, I'd take a moment to bring this up. You had recommended, and every recommendation you've made is usually a hit perfect. On all cylinders.
Appreciate
but you mentioned the Fate of the Furious.
Yes. Yeah, so, yeah, sure.
I'll tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
You recommended starting at the fourth or fifth in the series.
The fifth one.
All right. I did not. I watched the one that just came out.
Sure.
And sure, that's fine, though.
I left about... how far into the movie I left? Just because it starts off with Vin Diesel,
uh-huh.
And this this whole big macho display in Cuba.
Yes, that opening scene is so silly.
He's putting
so
nitrous silly. Into the uh-huh. engine, and then he's driving backwards, and then he lands,
and it's on fire. And then it goes up and it explodes.
I got up to leave. Then I swear to God, and then I said, you know what, Chris would want me to give it 5 more minutes because. You know, so I sat back down.
Well, okay.
And then he's walking through town the next day, and some beautiful woman,
Charlize Theron,
knows his whereabouts, and she wants to recruit him.
Yeah.
And that whole the way that went down, I got up and left.
Okay.
So that's as much as I see, and that's the God's honest truth.
All right, for sure.
That was just too ridiculous.
That's what these movies are. They are, and that's why I'm saying, especially with the fifth one. Because, like I said, the first one's like a Point Break remake. Yeah. And then the second, third, and fourth ones are all trying to do their own thing. The fourth one's kind of serious, I think. The fifth one is when they were just like,
silly.
We're just going to go for it. Fuck physics. fuck anything that makes sense.
Fuck money. Fuck
physics. we just want to throw ridiculousness at the screen.
But see now, and this is why I think it's an age thing.
Sure.
I'm an older man than you two lads.
Fair enough.
And there was a time when I was just addicted to the action scenes and the adrenaline and the bombast and the, just let's see what they've done with these special
effects. Sure, yeah.
Now it's like I've been there, I've seen it, I've done it.
I understand that. I totally understand that and I get it. But to speak to that point specifically, I found myself, within like the last 5 years, finding myself beyond the point of going to a movie just for special effects or, it's got to be a specific director.
Well, like
or
Mad
artist.
Max. Mad Max, I like that film.
Mad Max is
insane
movie.
You talk that up, it's chock full of action.
Yeah,
it's not that I don't like action.
Yeah.
I've got to be somewhat, there's got to be some believability to it. There's got to be the characters.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of have to, you don't have to be fully fleshed out for the beginning of the movie. But
sure.
That was just so stupidly macho, dumb. This cannot really happen. And nobody got hurt.
Yeah, but people got hurt. It's funny you say macho because part of the reason I love that movie is like, wow, it's really an updated, it's so... George Miller had like an acclaimed feminist on set to help him make this movie. It's like, I want to make this from like a real feminist point of view, strong women characters. I really liked what they were saying with the movie and that they found a way to do it within the confines of a 2-hour chase movie. I thought that was spectacular. The Fast and Furious movies are for sure more style over substance, but I think it's a particular style that they're hitting on that just works as opposed to when I was like 20, 15 years ago. 100% I was watching movies where it's like the story could have been dumb. I would have been like, oh, the Transformers movies are amazing. Whereas now I dread when a Transformers movie's come out because like, goddamn, I'm gonna have to see this because it's Michael Bay. But then when the movie's over, I'm like, God, that was horrible. And it has the best special effects.
Yeah.
And the best action scenes. But at the end of the day, I'm like, these movies, the only one
lipstick on a pig.
The only one I like is the first one, because that's the one that was produced by Steven Spielberg, like hands-on producing, and that's the one where the story is a boy in his car.
Yeah.
It actually has an emotional hook to it. They took the time to develop the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back, that's the only reason why that one works. And 2, 3, 4, and I'm sure now 5 coming out are all garbage because it's
riding the coattails of the franchise.
Exactly, and it's all about the... So I will speak to that in that, yes, I do believe that is a thing. And as a person ages, yes, they do seek more substance in what they take in. But maybe would it have helped if you had started from the fifth one, Drew? Is it because it does ramp up? The opening scene of 8 is so insane. The engine starts glowing hot red when he's like... But then in the beginning of the fifth one, they're on a train. And they're stealing cars from a high-speed train. And as it's approaching a bridge, they're going to drive a car. They're driving the car next to the train, and then it's off a 200, 300 foot ledge, and then they just, it's a convertible. So while they're in the car, driving off the ledge, and then they stand up, like in the car.
Surf the car.
And then they like surf the car in the air, and then as it gets closer to the ground, they just jump out of the car, off the car, into the water, as if that wouldn't kill them.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's thinking if you jump out of the plane right before it hits the ground.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that one is two guys in a car jumping off a cliff and still living. By the seventh one, they're parachuting cars out of airplanes.
Cargo plane, yeah.
Yes, and they're parachuting, should they land, and it's a stunt that they actually did for real in terms of they strapped cars to parachutes and jumped and flew them out, and then they like later put cars on cranes like 20 feet in the air and then dropped them so they could land like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just to cut down the CG. So then in the eighth one, this one that ends with the car chase that's on like an ice shelf in the Arctic.
Oh, yeah.
Right now in Siberia.
Being chased by a submarine.
Being chased by a nuclear submarine. So there is a random that you're missing jumping into the eighth one. That being said, if you see the style of that and you're like, no, don't worry about them.
Yeah, don't waste my time.
Don't spend your time watching them. They're, because it's a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all it is.
Sicario is the opposite of that.
Where now you got my interest.
Where it is like it's in your face, it's gritty, it feels real because they're like it's a heightened reality.
Right.
You know, it's not real. It's Hollywood real, but it's still like not. It's like the difference between Chips and like The Wire.
Yeah.
Right. You know.
Yeah. Viscerally, a movie scene that really got me like, actually, almost the whole movie, but. In Scarface, when they're making that drug deal in that
in the hotel room,
oh. And they
have
hook them up to the
shower rod,
mm-hmm. with the other guy, mm-hmm. and they start chainsawing the other guy.
yeah.
Oh man, like I felt like I was in the room watching this depravity.
And then they turn up the music to cover the sound of the chainsaw, and then the camera drifts out of the room through a window to their lookout.
Stephen Bauer.
Yeah, he's on the car in the street.
Talking to a girl.
Yes. And you're like, no, the chainsaw, we're going to kill Al Pacino halfway through Scarface. Is this going to happen, Drew? That's the thing when you're watching a movie, though, when your hero's in danger, like, you know he's not going to get killed.
Right.
I make that
joke. But they did a good job of making me not so sure.
It's exactly.
I mean, like,
yes, that's why it works.
That logic for a minute.
That's why that scene works. Yeah. You're like, oh my god.
It's a great scene.
Yeah, that's Brian De Palma, man. Yeah. He knows what he's doing.
He's serious.
And then Scarface didn't make that much money when it came out, and it kind of got like the cult following over time. It's that type of movie.
On Long Island, it made a lot of money because everybody I knew went to see that.
Yeah, sure. In New York, they're like, hey, I'm sure in Miami too. And speaking of the Neva Nueve and the Blade Runner coming out, it's funny how that first Blade Runner, like, infamously bombed. $30 million movie, which in 1982...
It's a lot of money.
A ton of money.
Probably like $100 million almost.
Right, yeah, you know? Exactly. Compared to today. And which is like what this one is budgeted at. This one's a little over $100 million now. And it very famously bombed.
So what did it take in, do you think?
I don't know.
Assume.
Obviously less than 30.
Yeah.
Like $5 million. Like people did not go see it. Critics did not like it. No one got it. Rutger Hauer. Was it Rutger Hauer?
The actor, yeah.
Yeah, because he played Roy Batty. When he said recently that at the end of the actors and the family and friends screening that they did, which is, you know, a very Homer audience, at the end of that for the first Blade Runner, when it was over, there was like no reaction. No one knew how to react. Like, really, I was like, yeah. And everyone was like,
what did we just say?
Yeah, what happened? I don't understand it. Which speaks to it in many ways, that it was kind of ahead of its time, visually and
story. Do you feel the title was apropos?
It's just a fun name. I don't think, because it's a reference to like a poem or something that doesn't even, they don't even bother explaining.
Right.
You know, it's just, we just call our replicant hunters Blade Runners.
It's just such an awesome name.
Because it sounds cool, especially when that Chinese guy is cooking. He's like, he said, you Blade Runner.
Blade Runner.
It's like, tell him I'm eating. That's going to be fun, man. I'm looking forward to the, it's a good trailer. Have you seen the trailer for it?
No.
Check it out. It's another one where it's like, look at all that style. I hope there's a story there.
Yeah.
You know, but to be fair, that first Blade Runner, the story is thin. It's really more about ideas and the whole what is it to be human. Very Philip K. Dick.
Mm-hmm.
Do androids dream of electric sheep? I hope there's electric sheep in this one. And cool. And they sleep.
Yeah.
And you're like, ooh, is that an electric sheep?
Is that dreaming? Is he dreaming?
Of androids? Or is it the other way around? Let's get into the box office recap. Talk about all that money for the weekend. Drew. Where are we starting our top five?
Number 14.
That doesn't make any sense. I said number top five.
Yeah, top five starts number 14 with The Wall. Made $891,000. Same as the, you know.
Pink Floyd put out this thing again.
Again. No. How many times are we going to go back to The Wall?
Milk in this.
Imagine if that
make
was
a new album.
That would be cool.
Imagine if this had some Pink Floyd in it.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be fun. How many theaters was it in?
541.
Okay, so not a wide release. Wide release is like 1,000 theaters. 500 theaters. One of them was over here, right next to us. Literally right next to us. So we went and saw this movie called The Wall, which is essentially starring or featuring three people.
Mm-hmm.
One of them who barely speaks because he's like unconscious most of the movie, pretty much. That's John Cena. The wrestler.
Yeah, he's just laying there in the dirt.
And then the third person you never actually see. It's a voice on an intercom. The situation is, it's 2007, Iraq War, it's ending. Two guys, a sniper and his scope guy, his lookout, they found it's part of a pipeline where a bunch of workers have been killed, and they're left. Their bodies have been left there, and also their security escort, they've been killed as well. So they've been like, when the movie starts, they've already been there for like 24 hours or something stupid.
Yeah.
And they're like, man, there's no sniper out there. We're good to go. Let's go out there and just see what's happening, clean it up. And then they go down to the site, and then they get pinned down. The sniper's still there and pins them down. And the whole movie is pretty much one guy stuck behind this, like, a part of a wall from a long ago blown out building, and the wall itself is like crumbling around him, and it has very little cover, and he's hiding behind it trying to find out where the sniper is, and the sniper's talking to him and messing with him and stuff, and then the story unfolds.
But how's the sniper
there.
Talking with him?
He just
shortwave radio.
Shortwave, yeah, he's just like keyed in on his frequency, so he's talking to him, and then the sniper's so good he shot out the antenna on his radio so he can't call for help.
Wow, that's a good sniper.
And yeah, he is. That's the whole point, that this guy is like, he turns out and says, like, oh, he's the, we call him the ghost or something. It's like, he's the legendary sniper that's going around Iraq. It's some ridiculous shit like that. It's a type of, you know how in TV shows, they when they do one episode that's all in one location, they call it a bottle episode.
Okay.
It's like a bottle movie. Where it's like the movie Phone Booth.
I was just going to say Phone Booth.
It's almost like a sequel where imagine if Kiefer Sutherland.
Or Locke.
Lock,
which nobody knows about.
Lock is moving with Tom Hardy in a car. Technically, the car is moving down the highway, but the whole movie's inside the car with him. Never moves. Never leaves him.
Yeah.
There's a Ryan Reynolds one called Buried, where the whole movie is him
in a coffin,
buried underground.
Or John Cusack, where he's in that one hotel, haunted hotel room.
1408. It does start he's meeting with Samuel Jackson, etc. But a very like 80% of that movie is him in that hotel room. Yes. Yeah. This is very similar, where it's like pretty much the entire movie. It's this one little location, and even then it's boiled down to a section of blown out wall and a guy hiding behind it, bleeding out, and trying to figure out how the hell he's going to survive it. And then because of the way the movie's set up, a lot of things kind of happen in sort of real time, you know? So it's kind like, of. Right? So it's like 10, 15 minute stretches where he's figuring shit out. He's cutting a hole into the wall so he can stick a scope in there. So when he's doing that, it's like a minute and a half of him trying to knock out bricks so the whole thing doesn't fall, being careful with the dirt, and then you're sitting there watching. Like,
And he has a gun too, right?
Yeah, but he doesn't have a sniper thing. And then there's also this whole part of him with the character problems, building. Yeah. He has problems with that. Where
do they say
what
sniper wants to kill him?
Yes. There's a whole end game that is that is revealed at the very, very end, and I can see why they made the movie, because the movie does build up to this big reveal at the end, where it's kind of like that movie Life that we saw earlier this year. It's almost like a Twilight Zone type thing, like a mindfuck type of, oh shit, and then it's over. Oh, that's what's going on. That sucks. sort of. Not to be too spoilery about it, but it's like, oh fuck, just... that's the thing.
But it's the journey. The journey getting there is what
100%
compelling.
It's quick too. It's only like 80-minute movie.
The movie is an hour and 20 minutes, including credits. So it's fairly quick. Save for the fact that there's like 2 minutes of him cutting a hole in the wall, and then there's like a minute where he's just like, "What am I gonna do?" And
he has to put on a tourniquet. It's some pretty lame stuff.
The tourniquet scene, that takes a minute. Man, there is a scene. A heads up to people: it's not necessarily a gory movie, save for
one scene.
Where
he has to dig a bullet out of his leg.
He digs a bullet out of his leg, and they go for it.
It's realistic.
It is brutal, and not even just realistic. Where like the camera is on the wound, it's like we're not cutting away. It's like,
is it in the bone?
It's in there. It's like you can't even cause his knee gets blown out because they're large caliber bullets. Geez. Yes, exactly.
Making me do that.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things. His knee is. It's like mush. His knee is gone. And you're like, oh, damn it.
It's like jelly.
It's bad. And then, but it hurts him so much, the bullet, that he has to stop at one point and just dig it out with a knife. And at first, we don't even know what he's doing. Because it's not like he's going to stop and explain to the camera, no, this is the part of the movie where I'm... You know, he's just like, he can't take it anymore. He pulls out a knife. I'm like, what is he doing? Is he going to cut his whole leg off? And then he starts digging in there. And then the bullet comes. I'm like, oh.
Sometimes, like, you're supposed to keep the bullet in. Not that I've been shot, but yeah. Because it cauterizes the...
It's blocking things.
Yeah, and it doesn't... So you don't bleed out.
Yes, exactly. Keeping things stuck in there. There's a John Wick moment where he stabs a dude in the heart, and then he tells him, he puts it in his heart, and it's like, go to the hospital, tell him it's in this this aorta. If you pull it out, you're going to die. All right, just go to the hospital. And then he leaves him there with the blade in them.
That's
and,
badass.
Yeah, and then the dude's in there like, God damn.
It's like, now I have to go to the hospital.
I can't continue my chase of John Wick because he knows anatomy. Yeah. Anatomy stuff. Like the sniper knows anatomy, man. It's a pretty solid little movie. Not something I'd
the
say
wall.
The
I'll wall check it out,
yeah, don't run out to go see it.
It'll be on Redbox soon enough.
It'll be on Amazon, maybe. I think it might have been an Amazon Studios production. Okay. I think Amazon Studios popped up in front of it. They picked it up for distribution.
Yeah.
From the director of The Bourne Identity and Go and Edge of Tomorrow and a whole bunch of really good movies. And also a couple of lame ones. So, you know, whatever that means. Yeah, The Wall. There you go. Number 14, right, Drew?
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, it was like
that. It was quick. It was a quick movie.
There was no La La Land, but it was...
I thought it was better than La La Land.
Oh,
thank you very
go.
Much.
Drew doesn't like La La Land.
I don't like La La Land.
It's just
Hollywood jerking itself off over Ryan Gosling who can't dance.
That's a stark. He looks at his feet. He looks at his feet.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling looks good in Blade Runner. But anyway,
yes, he did. Number 5, The Boss Baby made $4.6 million, total 162.
All right, we talk about the whole bunch. Let's move on.
Number 4, The Fated Furious. $5.3 million for a total of $215 million.
Which we got the Curtis Earth partial review. Not a fan.
No, and you got all my money.
But he still got. You know, you can get your money's back within 30 minutes.
Oh, can you?
Yeah, within 30 minutes of the movie. If you don't like it, you can go to customer service and at least get a voucher.
I just started poking in my head to other movies.
Oh, sure, yeah.
That too.
That's the same thing, yeah. Pretty much. Because the whole point is you're going to see another movie anyway. They just want you to come back and use their... Over here at the Winter Park Regal, they renovated everything and then they put in a bar...
What?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. And it's like, you know
some
what?
Some people just sit there and drink.
Some people are just sitting there drinking.
So the bar is in the theater?
It's in the theater, in the lobby.
Oh, wait, it's in the lobby.
It's in the lobby.
It's not in the movie theater.
No. But you can get your... For the Florida Film Festival, I got myself... I spent $7 on a can of Hi-Li Cigar City.
And you
knowing for an extra $2, I could go to Publix and get a whole six-pack.
Uh-huh.
But I was inside a movie theater, and I was going to go see a movie. I'm like, give me that Hi-Li, man.
All right,
poured it into a plastic cup like a gentleman, and I walked into my theater. And...
All right, I have two situations with liquids that I have to tell you about really quick. All right? That I just don't get. I can't wrap my head or get around it.
You got two situations with liquids?
Two liquid situations. Situations. All right. One is when I used to date this one girl who, you know, loved a good beer buzz when she did anything.
Sure. Okay.
But I remember we were going to the movie and we were late for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so before we got our tickets, we ripped. It already started the credits, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right. She goes, wait, let's get some buds. You know, I'm like, the movie's only like 2 hours, an hour and a half. Let's just watch the movie.
And then we'll go and
have a beer after the show.
Yeah, we don't have to drink.
No, I want to get it. So we had to stop and get that. And I don't get that. And I also went to a college graduation recently.
Uh-huh.
And the people I was with, they all had to turn, like they all brought water bottles with them. Right? I don't know what was in the water bottles, but we had to go through security, UCF.
Uh-huh.
And so and one guy had a vape. He had to bring
back.
But they're like, oh, we can't let you in with the drinks. They put up such a stink. I'm like, how long could this be? You got to be that hydrated to watch somebody get on stage and get a...
That is
so,
true, yeah.
So they worked out a compromise where they would empty all of their stuff, bring in the empty water bottles, and then once we got in there, they started putting water in there. I'm like, how dehydrated are you?
That is an insane way to
I live. Just go up to the water fountain, put my thumb on the
take
button,
a sip or two.
Take a sip and go in and watch the...
Drink the old copper water straight from the water fountain.
I don't get this.
That second one is an instance of insanity. That first one is a bit of a substance issue.
Yeah.
like, no, I need my buds.
I just got to... Oh, there we go.
I got to study this.
I got to sit in hand.
My point is, though... Like, I appreciate the option of having alcohol at the
Don't need it, though. Yeah.
You don't really need it, though.
100%.
And there's some people that certainly don't need it. They're already, you know, half in the bag.
And this movie theater, they've been serving beer and wine for a couple years now, and I've never bothered because it's always been, you have to go into the normal concession, which means waiting, and it's like just Bud Light, Miller, and it's like $4 or $5. I'm like, I don't need that shit. That,
I'm even thinking that's a bargain because if popcorn
in a movie theater,
popcorn is $10 for a bunch of popped kernels.
But they're
imagine what a Cigar City is costing.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Once they open the bar,
$7 for one can.
When they open the bar and I walk in, pretty much everything is $6.99.
I'd like to put a Heineken on layaway if I could. I'll be here in two movies.
But instead of having to wait in that big ass line where all people getting popcorn and hot dogs and sodas. This guy over here, he's just cleaning the bar, waiting for someone to come over. I walk up to him, like a highlight. He's like, here you go. I got it right away. It was quick. It was easy. They made me wear a wristband.
Right.
And then they're like, we can only sell you 3 beers, I think. There's a limit to how much I can sell each customer, each person.
Oh, that's good, though. Yeah. That's responsible.
But I was also like, I'm drinking one. At $7 a pop, I am drinking one.
Imagine the guy walk up, let me get a 6-pack. Thanks. He just sits there.
Yeah, right? Like, why didn't you?
$90 later.
Right. Go to a bar. That's weird.
Number 3 this week.
That's what we're talking about.
King Arthur.
Here we go.
Legend of the Sword.
We saw this.
Weekend gross of $14.7 million. Same as total.
How much?
$14.7 million.
And what was the budget?
$175 million.
So wait, if that's all it's taken in, 14?
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Now, this sounds like a crazy movie. I've seen somewhat of a trailer of it.
You know what? The movie is
you
slightly...
Saw
we saw it, and
yes,
it's,
we did.
And it's even crazier than the trailer suggests,
yes,
which,
it
is,
does.
Which
there,
is
there
odd.
There are even more monsters, and even more magic, and it feels even more like Lord of the Rings than it should.
Yes. It's like, what if Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones had a King Arthur baby?
Yeah.
That's what they wanted anyway. Yeah. But they're
that's
like,
not what they got.
But what if it was written and directed by the guy who did Snatch and Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels? That's the swerve right there. So there's whole scenes where, have you seen those movies?
Yeah. You're like, oh, I know where this comes from. Oh, cool. Yeah.
Whole sequences where it's like quick, bang, bang. People having conversations.
Doing
and the way the camera's whipping back and forth and showing the things that they're speaking about in montage form. It's like, this is what he does. This is for sure a Guy Ritchie movie. Uh-huh. It's King Arthur, but it's also Guy Ritchie. And I gotta be honest, I'm a fan of that still, of that style. I was watching the movie, I think it's also the power of diminished expectations. I thought the marketing was terrible. And I was like, who is this? You brought up the question on when I talked to you on the Curtis Earth Show. Who is the audience for this? Who is this movie for?
Right.
After seeing the movie, I still don't know who this movie is for. But I will say that with my lower expectations, I was like, this is not terrible. I personally didn't think it was bad. It was weird. I think I liked that it was weird. It had way more magic than I thought it would.
Yeah,
Way more, like, big monsters. There's a scene where...
Dude, that fucking...
You go through the Darklands?
That was cool, too, but the giant... That whole montage was pretty cool. I kind of wish there was more of the Darklands.
Yeah, right? Instead of being a montage form. Remember Princess Bride?
Yeah.
Remember the Fire Swamp?
Yes.
Yeah.
Take out the fire and add more R-O-U-S's. More rodents of unusual size.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, literally, at one point... Rodents of unusual size pop up.
Yeah, giant rats.
I'm like, it's Princess Bride. He has to. There's a montage of him going through some like netherworld called the Darklands, where he's fighting.
Where he's honing his skills.
He's honing his skills. Where in a montage he fights giant bats, giant rats. What else? There were
giant bats.
There were all sorts of huge animals coming after him.
Giant wolves.
Giant wolves. The giant wolves.
Just regular size of any of that menagerie is scary.
Yes.
Imagine giant.
Giant. Yes. And and then, I don't know, what did you think, Drew? I mean, I have weirdly mixed feelings about this movie. I thought I was just going to hate it.
There were some very cool parts. As a whole, like, I can pick out specific sequences that I enjoy.
Yeah.
And being familiar with the King Arthur legend made me really angry with the movie because it has nothing to do with the King Arthur legend.
Well, it's like the build-up, too. It's like a prequel to the King Arthur legend, really.
Vaguely.
At the very end. the very end, it's like at the end of Casino Royale.
They've got dudes like Sir George. Who the fuck is Sir George?
I don't know. He's one of the 12?
Yeah, well, yeah, and he's also Asian.
Yeah, diversity, man, we're mixing it up. Come on, Kung Fu George. He's like, you mean Blacksmith George? No, Kung Fu George.
Do you feel this would be the Blade Runner. It's the Blade Runner of its time.
No,
where it has all these ideas and weird things, and nobody's
I think it's gonna. You think it'll age like fine wine? No. To borrow from Tarantino's Pulp Fiction, I think it's gonna. Like wine, it'll turn to vinegar over here. So it's just going to get, I think it'll get worse over time.
Yeah, because it borrows a lot of things from a lot of things you've already seen.
From modern stuff.
And just puts it all together in a, wrapping it in a King Arthur story.
It's pastiche in the worst way, unfortunately.
I'll take that, those giant flaming pyramids on the elephants were awesome, though.
Some of the giant elephant stuff was actually...
sounds like you guys are explaining an LSD trip to me right
now.
Which is part of the thing. The things that I liked about it are the weirder things, the weirder sequences. There's one. There's a part where he's like Arthur's trying to reject the sword in his quote birthright, which is okay. I don't like a movie. I don't feel like watching a movie about a white man claiming his birthright to rule people. It's like we don't need that in 2017. We're past that narrative a long time ago. But still, having said that, there's a scene where he's rejecting his birthright, and the sword is representative of the birthright, the Excalibur.
Right.
He throws the sword into some water, and then he's like running away through the swamp, but then he falls into some mud, and then he has like a vision with some like mermaid lady who pulls him into
the
mud.
It's the Lady of the Lake.
Lady of the Lake, who then he pulls when he comes out of the mud, like
he has a sword.
Like he threw it away in the water all the way out there, but he has it back in the mud, and he's like, he's freaking out. And it's like, that's some weird magical realism, like weirdness that I like in a big budget movie like this. And I think more movies should go ahead and get strange like that. But still, it's like I can't recommend this movie to anyone. Not a single person could recommend this movie.
Chris, all that being said, there needs to be a coherent story behind the whole thing to be any good.
It was fairly coherent. I found Jude Law's character's arc tragic and affecting, and the thirst for power means great sacrifices have to be made. I felt his pain making his sacrifices, and I understood why he was making them. I think a big problem is this Charlie Hunnam dude.
Yeah. Who,
he's not bad.
He's not good, though.
He's not. He doesn't have it. He doesn't have it.
No.
Wherever he has it in the audition rooms, you know, on in the stage, in person, it's not translating to the...
Right.
Not for me, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I would have rather seen The Rock as King Arthur.
At one point, I was like, Tom Hardy. Hardy should have been this guy.
Well, yeah, but that would have been a step down for Tom Hardy.
It would have ended up
He's been in good Guy Ritchie movies. He doesn't need to be in the bad ones.
It would have ended up being a step down for him, yes. But he does have a Guy Ritchie history. Yeah, he would have been a good. And then he has the weight.
So what? Then Jason Statham? Can we get some Jason Statham in here?
He's a little too old. Statham, a younger Statham would have been good. I don't know.
Or a young Ditka, for that matter. Yeah. If Ditka can act.
Ditka. But does he have it? You don't even have to act. You don't even have to act.
You just have to have it.
You have to have it.
The it factor.
Those are two very different things, mm-hmm. you know? And King Arthur needs that because of the charismatic role. You're leading people, you know?
I don't think the King Arthur one with Clive Owen that was god-awful was better than this one.
Called King Arthur.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 Not to reverse gears on you guys, but did you see that movie, because we were talking about box office and bombs, and I don't know how it did or how it could have even done, but the Meryl Streep movie where she plays
Florence Foster Jenkins.
Yeah.
Did not see it.
Okay. Nope. I didn't see it.
And
it didn't sound like a good thing to see. Woman singing off key through most of the movie.
And people being like, you have to like her singing. It's like, that sounds horrible.
It sounds like a horrible premise for a movie.
And, right?
And I know it's real, a real story, but...
Not all real stories are worthy of being told.
No.
Don't you want to hear the story of this rich white lady who forced a bunch of people to pretend that she could sing well?
No.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why would Streep even make this movie?
Because she probably got it... fuck ton of money dumped on her lawn.
They're like, you want $1 million?
Well, all right, let's take it above her. Why would anyone produce? Why would people come up with cash for this movie?
Because somebody thought it was a good idea.
Someone thought it was going to make money.
Sold a bunch of people on that same idea.
Someone was like, saw it and was like, this could make that Oscar money. This could get awards.
I mean,
now she was nominated though, right?
I don't think so.
I remember hearing that name.
Florence Foster Jenkins. That had a lot of marketing towards the end of the year. Maybe she was nominated.
No, I mean at the Academy Awards.
Maybe it was nominated for
It is Meryl Streep. Doesn't she just get nominated for acting?
Just for showing up. She does that thing, she gets nominated. Same with Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
Her whole movie's getting nominated.
Yeah. I don't think I made much money, but it also doesn't look very expensive either. Yeah. Like, Meryl Streep was probably the most expensive line item on the budget.
Yeah.
So King Arthur, yeah. Whatever. Right. What number was that?
3.
Because what was number 2?
Snatched. Made $17.5 million.
Which also didn't get well reviewed. But between The Wall and King Arthur, Legend of Sword, we didn't have time to see Snatch, so we don't have a review of it. If anyone saw Snatch, or please see it this week, and then send us your review, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com, or read it next week's show.
And number one, no surprise here, Chris, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, we can gross $63 million total of $246 domestic.
$246, it's definitely going to make over $300 here.
Oh, ho, ho, it's magic. Using all that 70s stuff, I love it.
I'm telling you, check out the soundtracks for these movies. You'll appreciate...
The soundtracks are amazing.
Yeah, you'll appreciate the music that they use, Kurt, because you're a music guy, and James Gunn has good taste.
Yeah.
But then if you watch the movies, you're like, oh, not only does he have good taste in music, but he knows how to use them well, effectively, in pop art. He creates tableau well. So we've already talked about this movie in depth before on the show, and you and I talk about it on your show.
Right.
Curtis Rose Show on WPRK. You can listen every week, 91.5 on Thursdays.
From 5 to 7.
But not this week.
Not this week. Simon Time, who's been a guest on the show,
yeah,
him and a friend of ours named Mental Rob will be doing the show, but they're going to talk about wrestling for 2 hours.
Very awesome.
Yeah, so that's why you and I won't be there. I won't be there. I have a private gig. But
Simon talking about wrestling. We've actually done a bonus episode with Simon talking about wrestling.
And oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. 45 minutes of just talking wrestling, and we barely scratched the surface.
Yeah.
Right?
Probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll probably do that again soon. Go back and listen to our last week's episode for our Guardians of the Galaxy spoiler-free review, or you can check out our spoiler bonus episode where we talk about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 in depth. New movies coming out this week on DVD, Resident Evil, The Final Chapter. We'll see about that. Right?
It's never the final chapter.
Especially with video game movies. As long as they make money, they're going to crank them out. The Space Between Us, this was a bit of a bomb. A rom-com, a young adult rom-com, where it's like a kid lives on a Martian colony.
Oh, yeah, and he comes to Earth and he's dying because
he can't take Earth's gravity, but he wants to see the love of his life.
It's kind
of
heavy, Chris.
XXX, speaking of heavy, XXX: Return of Xander Cage, also speaking of Vin Diesel. Yeah. If you don't like the Fast and Furious tone,
you will hate the XXX.
Stay away
franchise.
From XXX. Because it's like...
It's that on steroids.
Yeah, it's like, how can we make Fast and Furious...
We'll take out everybody else.
But with worse action.
Just Vin Diesel.
Take out all the charismatic people around him. And we'll make it dumber. How can we... Oh, okay, now we have XXX. Sorry. Yeah. What's going on in theaters?
In theaters, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Long Haul.
Which is insane. This is the fourth, I believe, of these. Maybe the fifth. Actually, you have IMDb?
I do, but we don't have internet.
Oh, we don't have internet. Alicia Silverstone is in this. It's a reboot of the Diary of a Wimpy Kid franchise. I guess because the original Wimpy Kid aged out.
Yeah.
Which is understandable, I guess. Alicia Silverstone plays the mom.
Oh, nice.
Does that make you feel old?
It makes me feel old because she was the precocious kid.
Uh-huh.
She's roughly my age, so I grew up watching her in many things.
So now you can play a dad.
Like those early Aerosmith videos.
I can play a dad. Where
him and Liv Tyler,
13,
were all creepily hot and sexy. And that was totally his daughter, her friend.
Definitely some coming of age stuff happening for old Chris Crespo when it came to those.
It was that crazy video, wasn't it?
Crazy for you, babe. Is that the one where it was both of them?
The dude goes into VR because he wants to be a biker.
Yeah, he wants to be a biker. Yeah, with the bike.
Yeah.
So is this the one where he picks his nose in the back seat of the convertible and she catches him and she's like, face?
I don't think so. That's a Seinfeld episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, because this one's like virtual reality. It's and it meets weird science because he's like creating the girl inside the virtual reality too.
So creepy.
Remember? Because like he tries to get with her and he's like, oh, that didn't work. I got to reprogram her.
Not creepy.
It's
at
a really
all.
Weird video.
So terrible. So back in the 90s, too, when they thought virtual reality and the internet was like this thing where we couldn't invent things. I don't know. What else is coming out?
Last but certainly not least, Alien Covenant.
Yes, Ridley Scott back to the Alien franchise for the first time as a director since the very first movie. You know, to this day, he's still a little sour that Fox never asked him to direct Aliens.
Really?
Alien 2. They never even asked him. They just went straight to James Cameron.
That's so weird.
And which is weird now. Pretty much you go back to the original person because like, hey, there was a hit the first time, we want to try to redo it. Fox was like, no, we want to go in a different direction to our hit, that's unheard of, right? But James Cameron's just coming off the Terminator. So and like, this guy has got the goods.
Yeah.
But really, Scott was a little peeved by that. And to this day, it still apparently brings it up in interviews and stuff. So
still, it's one hell of a 1-2 punch,
right? Alien to aliens, come on. And then, so with Alien Covenant, he set out to make, like, he wanted to make a horror movie, like, straight up as scary as possible, which isn't something that he normally does. Mm-hmm. Is Alien his last straight up horror movie?
I think so.
Unless you count, like, Hannibal.
Yeah.
Right? That's more like psychological.
It's psychological, right? No. Yeah. It's not like a monster is chasing you in the dark.
Yeah. There's no H.R. Giger monsters trying to eat you.
No crazy penis monster with the penis mouth trying to kill you but first it infects you with the vagina monster.
Yes.
It does. H.R. Giger was a weird guy. He had problems. Gentlemen, rest in power, H.R. Giger. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I really am. I really like the Alien movies, you know, and that's another one where even if the story is the story for the original Alien isn't much of a story.
It's that tension. It's the feeling.
It's the mood. They're
on the way out.
Exactly. And all the H.R. Giger stuff, you know, in the original Alien, that was survival. The first time you ever saw anything that dark and morbid and yet somehow that's fucking true. Gorgeously beautiful.
That's true. If the Alien movie does hold a place in sci-fi before that, it's like the crawling eye and the saucer men from Mars.
Yeah,
the blob.
Yes, exactly.
I used to have a model of the Alien that I bought when I was a kid and put it together.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I was doing model cars for so long and then I was at the model store.
Yeah.
I was that geek.
Yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
like,
ooh,
oh, Alien. Wow. And then, you know, I had a whole bunch of those. I had the, Han Solo, Millennium Falcon.
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
All of a sudden, I wasn't into cars anymore. But I remember having the Alien Monster.
You don't happen to have any of those still?
No.
Oh, man.
I got into a place of, burning them all because they burn so wonderfully.
It's all right. I got to the same thing. You know? I had I had a model phase too.
Model phase. He's talking about his firebug phase.
Well, no, but afterwards, instead of lighting them on fire, I shot them with guns.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So yeah, but
there's a point where it's like I'm not going to be taking these with me.
Nope.
Wherever I go.
Let's destroy them.
So let's set them on fire or shoot them with guns.
Yeah.
I'm apparently doing a show with a couple of sociopaths. Right? Fantastic. I had no idea. You guys seem like nice guys.
They would melt gorgeously and then just become this blobbish.
It would become a blob. Yeah. I'd expect the fire thing coming. He seems like the fire
I was about
guy.
To say, you expected that.
I could see him pulling out an air pistol, like my uncle. let's do...
Air Pistol Sunday.
Yeah, Air Pistol Sunday.
Why not?
Speaking of Air Pistol Sunday, it's time for Dr. Drew's new... Oh, here we go. All my buttons have been rearranged. New tablet, had to reload everything.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
You must be Doc Holliday.
That's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
And that's right, and the doctor is in with your prescription for life, Curtis. Dr. Drew, take it away.
Sorry, Chris, this one's a little dour. Just remember, Chris, unfortunately, sometimes hard work and dedication is not all you need to succeed.
Oh, you're saying hard work? You're saying hard work does not pay off?
Sometimes hard work and dedication is not everything you need to succeed, is all I'm saying. Doctor's out.
There you go, Kurt.
All right.
Sometimes it's not enough.
I saw him talking to James Comey earlier today, so I don't know if that had anything to do with his...
We have tapes of those conversations. So.
Apparently. Do we? Do we have tapes of those conversations?
I tweeted that out, so
he alluded to them.
I've alluded to them. Crespo Disco, break time. I grabbed a couple songs from the King Arthur soundtrack because Guy Ritchie loves his clangy, loud, bombastic soundtracks. And one of the few things I kind of liked about the movie was the music because I thought it was working. I thought it was working. So here you go, a couple songs from that. We'll be back with the second half of the show. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go.
What's the fuss?
Hey, Etchy, shouldn't we have done a Cinema Crespediso commercial by now?
Shouldn't we have? Yes, we should have, yeah.
Bill, yep. why didn't we do that?
I don't know. Etchy, why didn't we do that?
I didn't do that.
You didn't do that.
No,
oh,
I didn't
shit.
Do that.
Don't Bill? Look at me. I don't have any ideas. I hate commercials.
Let's play a clip then. I just got a letter from the police.
Dear Rocky, yeah. Thank you so much for your annual donation of $12 and one sign that said GFY. We can only imagine because of your generous contribution that stands for good for you. Sincerely, Police Department.
A product of radio.
I told Drew and Chris that I'd write them a song. I broke out my guitar, it didn't take long. They talked directors and actors and factor in a funky plan of film nerd stuff and box office weekends. Oh, oh,
cinema.
Chris Pediso, Chris and Drew.
Cinema.
Chris Pediso, and you.
Settle back
and enjoy the news and views.
To the movies we go with Chris Crespo and
Hello, Cinema Crespediso listeners. This is Chris from BYOCB, the podcast where we drink, we laugh, we drink, inviting you to join myself and my co-host Alex as we take you out of a studio environment and into different environments that revolve around enjoying a few adult beverages with your friends. Check out our stuff at BYOCBShow.com or give us a follow on Twitter at BYOCBShow.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
Here we go. Hey, there we go, mate. Welcome to the second half of episode 227 of Cinema Crespediso. Chilling with Drew Stacoglin. Drew, how's it going, Drew Stacoglin?
Drew, how's it going, Drew Stacoglin?
I'm fluctuating between Liverpool and Brisbane. Now I'm just sticking to Brisbane. I'm going straight to Melbourne, mate.
You don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
I don't know. Curtis, how you doing, Kurt?
Bumblebee.
My inflections are ready.
Are they? You feeling yes. Manageable vegetable. Unique New York. Good to go.
I like those two. I've been doing the bumblebee thing for 20 years.
Bumblebee. Yeah, I saw that. Sarah Silverman did that once on something. She was looking in the mirror. She was going, Unique New York. And making like a really funny face. I was like, that's hysterical. I'm taking that. Drew, where can people find you online?
At Antihero419 all over the interwebs.
Kurt, where can people find Earth Trivia at the moment? What gigs are you focusing on that you want people to try to come out to?
Well, you know, my show tonight, actually, Sunday night. Mm-hmm. Although by time people hear this podcast.
Some locals will have a chance to head out there. Yeah.
They'll have time. But I'm on every Sunday night.
Yes.
At 8 o'clock at the Wing Shack. Mm-hmm. New management. The same delicious trophy wings.
There you go.
And we have a great time. It's a free trivia game show. We have prizes. Mm-hmm. And then they're always like giving out tons of like in between, you know, like if your team gets the most right after the first round, we'll send over a bunch of shots.
They do. Yeah. Weird ones too sometimes. Like weird sounding shots. Yeah, but that's right, because I got to host one of those for you once, an emergency fill-in. It's a patio gig, so it's outside.
It's outside. It's nice.
It's still nice enough outside at night where you can enjoy these types of gigs. So
that one, yeah.
Check that one for sure.
Yeah. EarthTrivia.com, though, is our website. Our Facebook page is Curtis Earth Trivia.
Yep.
Making use of your useless knowledge.
Yep.
And then you can just see where I'm at there. But Sunday night show, we're still trying to build up.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to build up that Wednesday Cork and Fork show over there in East Orlando.
Earth Trivia at the Cork and Fork with Christopher Crespo.
100%. Come out and see why Earth Trivia really is the best trivia night in town. I don't just say that because, as Drew knows, for years we were coming out to the show at Copper Rocket. Big fans of the show for a long time. And then I was like, well,
and now you're part of our family.
Part of the family. If I can make money doing something that I enjoy, why not? Now, being a trivia host, I am back to going to trivia shows as often as I can.
Yeah.
Really, so I can get hints and tips and pointers and steal jokes.
There's plenty to learn, and it's a good thing.
I told Simon when he was here. He was co-hosting the other week, and I told him, I stole one of your jokes, and it worked out great. I stole the one where... I asked between questions, I'm like, is anyone here a sports fan? A bunch of people are like, yeah. I'm like, all right, here's a food question.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Oh. Simon time is good for those
great
quips.
For those. Yeah.
Malapropisms.
Yes. Love that word. It's a fantastic word. All right, so there you go. EarthTrivia.com. Check it out. It is totally worth it. It's awesome stuff. A lot of fun. All over town, too. So that's why you got to go to the website to see if it's where it is near you. Not if it's where near you, but where it is near you, because it is for sure.
Yeah, we have a daily schedule and also, you know, the times and all that stuff, too.
And so you're in Georgia and Pennsylvania?
Yeah, we're in Washington, D.C.
Virginia
and Pennsylvania
there
as well.
There you go. Come on, guys. We have listeners all over the place. We're not in Japan yet. Once we get to Japan, though, it's going to be huge, Kurt.
I can't wait for that.
Because we're blowing up in Japan.
I heard there's a great McDonald's in Japan.
Is there?
No, I don't know.
You know, there might be. The McDonald's, the one with the world's largest play area over at iDrive over here. One of three McDonald's in the country that still sells pizza.
Oh, really?
The McPizza. Yeah. People drive, Drew, from all over to go to these McDonald's that still sell McPizzas. A holdover from the...
90s?
I think I want to say 80s, actually.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, gross. Two of them in the middle of the country, and one of them's in Orlando. We got to go.
Gross.
We got to go, Drew. Do a McPizza cast. Ugh. We got to go on McPizza Odyssey. It's easy.
One place.
One place that we can go
and
to.
And how was it? It was awful.
It wasn't that good.
Preemptive review.
Yeah, Drew, come on. You're killing the content.
Hey, I'm having a prophecy. Is that what they're calling it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a premonition.
So yeah, premonition, if you will.
That's what we're calling them now.
Yes.
People, follow me on Twitter at IamChrisCrespo. If you want stickers, email us cinemacrespidiso@gmail.com. And come out to trivia. It's a lot of fun. I'm a great host. Trust me. You'll enjoy it. I was like, I got to sell it. That's how I'm going to sell it, right? I can't say I'm not good at this.
No, you can't.
Or I'm still learning.
I'm mediocre
at best. Guys, I'm still learning. I'm mediocre at best. But trust me, it's going to keep getting better every week. And if you come out now, you can see it get better for yourself.
Well, you know, there's the process, the format of the show.
Yes.
Which, you know, anyone can follow the format or the process.
Very simple
but
format.
But there's that it thing that we talked about earlier.
Trivia it.
It's a low.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you, Kurt. It is a lower level of it. The standard of it for trivia host is lower than for movie stars, than for Tom Cruise level movie stars. But thank you. I appreciate that.
To connect with an audience. Yes. You have to have people want to come back.
Make some jokes.
And there's something special about you.
Thank you.
That nobody else has. And your people will start following you in droves.
Yeah.
And then there won't be a restaurant big enough in this.
That's what I'm hoping for.
To contain your following.
Hey,
you're a snowflake, Chris.
I am a snowflake. I'm Orlando's number one libtard cuck snowflake. Maybe that's what people want. That's what they want.
It must be.
They want their trivia hosts to be proud of their libtard cuck snowflakeness.
Uh-huh.
Because I dare to believe that people should be treated equally. How dare I, Kurt?
People
should be treated with respect.
So brazen.
What a loser I am. I'm just the worst.
Year it is?
Might as well just have a line of dudes fucking my wife because I dare to believe that there's a gender pay gap.
We just lost our G rating. All right, great.
Oh, yeah. We are going to be syndicated in Gainesville any week now, and I'll be editing these shows. I'm actually going to have to edit out curses in the future.
Can I tell you something, Chris?
Yeah.
Andrew, political climate and the circus that is our government right now and everything that's going on.
That is America.
Every day. It's almost become a reality show.
Unfortunately.
Oh, no, it is.
Yeah.
You know
what
I
mean? Except it's reality.
But it's reality. It's surreal in that way.
Yeah. It's very unfortunate.
If that's the right verbiage.
Yeah.
It's almost surreal in that way that every day I wake up to see what's going on with the show.
But
the takeaway from me, what I've learned about this, which I've never really fully grasped in the past, is the sadness that I can't seem to have a true argument with someone anymore. An argument in the classic sense where I have a bunch of ideas based on a premise,
facts,
and you have some, and when we're done, even if I lose, I win, because I learned so much
from
your points, and I didn't understand that.
You mean having a discussion?
And we sharpen, sharpen each other.
Yeah, debate. Yeah,
debate, right. If you will.
No, we sharpen each other without hurting each other's feelings, calling each other names, deflecting to things that are irrelevant to the argument, just to have a real, wonderful, meaty argument.
I agree.
Not an anger argument, just an argument on, well, this is why I feel this way, this is why I feel.
Here's my reasoning. Yeah, well, I believe this, and I believe that.
Have you considered this?
Right.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Have you considered this? And we walk away more knowledgeable. Not hating each other and divided.
Big problem is...
appreciating each other.
A big problem is our media that we take in. The media form of these, quote, debates and these discussions happens on these talking head shows on cable news where they're not having these discussions. They're not debating. They're screaming their talking points over each other.
Right.
And then the host is trying to get them to, like, shut up and talk
one at a time. Wrangle them back in, yeah.
And it is terrible. It is not discourse. It is not discussion.
Right.
It is theatrics. And it's terrible. And
right.
Yeah, I believe that's a big part of why...
And that's the sad thing. That's why I'm sad. You know what I mean? Like,
That's what makes you a sad panda?
Well, the division in the country is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you cannot just have a thoughtful, insightful debate or argument with someone without them just collapsing.
Right.
And, or the worst, you're just... You feel terrible. You're just sour grapes because you didn't win the election.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's not what this is.
It's got nothing to do.
Yeah.
But then you just have to look and shake your head in disbelief and walk away, and that's the sad part.
It's because people don't want their world view and their point of view challenged, and they don't want to be told that they're wrong about anything. It's definitely a culture of, no, I'm right no matter what.
But how do you find enlightenment? How do you find truth?
You don't.
Enlightened people think enlightenment is overrated. They don't want enlightenment. They want their 401k, and they want to watch Duck Dynasty, and they're upset that Tim Allen's Last Man Standing got canceled. Despite great ratings, they're upset because he's a Trump supporter, and it's a conspiracy from the Jewish elite running the media, blah, blah, blah. That's very Alex Jones. Yeah. That's what the people you're arguing about are people that listen to that kind of stuff, and it's unfortunate that... those, the most difficult people, they're the minority. The fringe is the minority, but they're also the loudest. And because they're the loudest, they get the most attention. And that's,
and do the most trolling.
And they do the most trolling, and they seem at times then to get the most done. Just look at the Tea Party and how far they've come.
Yeah.
You know, they're a big part of the problem. So, yeah, it's a bummer.
Yeah.
It's a bummer. And if I dare to be like, I think we should have gun control, everyone's like,
no, my right to bear arms.
You're a liberal snowflake. Trigger warning.
I've got three pairs of bear arms. I need to go for my fourth.
I need my fourth bear arm. I got two grizzlies and a polar.
Yeah. I need a black bear.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Maybe some other ones.
It's a world we live in, Kurt.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? We're going to do podcasts, and we're going to talk about movies and hang out and have fun and drink and get drunk and then go to sleep and then wake up next day.
And feel like, shit.
I gotta do this all over again. Every time I get to my questions, and one of them's a Donald Trump question, I'm like, God damn, I gotta say this guy's name.
yes, you
do. I have to mention him. Uh-huh. This sucks. But then I do it, and then it's all good. You're knocking shit on the floor, Curtis.
Well, you said Donald Trump.
That's the appropriate response. Yeah. Okay, let's get into. Oh man, I actually opened up my Simpsons game.
I need to close Let's that. Get into the Simpsons. Into the Tapped Simpsons. Out. All right, so how's Virtual Springfield going?
Virtual Springfield's going pretty well. It's all built up, and oh shit! Juice of God, we're in the worst of the world. Juice of God, we're in the worst of the world.
Juice of God, we're in the worst of the world.
Yeah. All right. We were going to do movie news, but instead we're going to jump into Drusy Cogburn versus the World. Guys, I went back and checked. Kurt, this is your 8th appearance on the show.
Yeah.
You guys, the two of you, a heads-up record, Drew, against Curtis, you are 2-5.
That sounds about right.
Sounds about right. You're 2-5. Mm-hmm. But Kurt, Drew, overall this year, he is 9-4.
Oh.
He's having a pretty good year, trivia-wise. And this week's game is called I Want It All. I'm going to tell you the name of the band. You tell me the famous actor who was in that band, who wasn't happy enough with being a famous actor, also wanted to be a rock star.
Oh, not the opposite. Was a rock star and wanted to be an actor.
Correct. I'm going to tell you the band, you tell me the actor.
All right.
Who then was in the band.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, this is...
Yeah, I only
know one.
Oh, God,
I was about to say, I can think of maybe two.
This is a hard game. It's right. A hard game. All so, right. Drew, you won last time. You went from 8 wins to 9 wins. So you got to go first. Two groups of 5, A or B. What do you want?
Group A.
Group A, here we go. Who's the actor that's in the band? 30 Seconds to Mars.
Oh, what's his face? God damn it, Jared Leto.
That's correct. Number 2, P.
What?
P, as in the letter P.
I was gonna say, can you use that in a sentence?
The band P features the actor blank.
Christian Bale.
No, I am sorry. That is Johnny Depp.
Ah.
That's Johnny Depp's band. Number 3.
Johnny Depp's in a band, of course he is.
He was. It was a 90s band. Number 3, the Boxmasters.
William Hurt.
No, a different William. Billy Bob Thornton.
Of course.
Billy Bob Thornton.
How am I supposed to know this?
Number 4.
This is tough.
Pizza Underground. It's supposed to get harder, too. I also them, so number 1's easy and number 5 is hard. So number 4. Pizza Underground.
Underground.
Mm-hmm.
This is brilliant trivia, though. Good job. Good job.
Thank you very much. Well, I do learn from the best. Thank you.
Tom Cruise.
That'd be funny. Macaulay Culkin.
Okay, sure.
It's got a weird pizza thing. And finally, number 5, Dog Star. One word.
Keanu Reeves.
That is correct. Good. Well done. Drew a 2 out of 5 in a very hard game. Kurt, you ready?
Oh, boy.
Like I said, it goes from easy to hard. Number 1, the Bacon Brothers.
Kevin Bacon.
Correct. Number 2, Tenacious D.
Jack Black.
That's correct. Number 3, The Licks.
Oh, she's short with dark hair. I have drawn a blank.
Just nothing. She is short with dark hair. That was Juliette Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
Number four, Coconut Records.
Coconut Records.
You don't know this one, Drew? I thought you would know this one.
Natalie Portman.
Jason Schwartzman. Similar stature. Jason Schwartzman. He's a short guy. And finally, number five, 30 Odd Foot of Grunts.
Russell Crowe.
That is correct. Pulling out at the end. 3 out of 5. Curtis Earth.
What?
Unbelievable. Making Drew 9-5. Kurt with arms in the air. Spectacularly triumphant.
I just can't do it.
Well done.
Thank you so much.
Well, how do you do this?
Russell Crowe's
where do you store this knowledge?
That's because my spirit animal is also me.
That is hysterical. Well done. Great game, guys.
I actually thought I had a chance for a tiebreaker.
And you know what? You know what the tiebreaker was going to be? It was going to be a word jumble.
Duh.
I was going to surprise you with a word jumble. Okay, let's do some movie news.
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic
Therapy opens up about
getaway.
Navigating the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is still on the beach about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beach?
That's right, Cinema Crespediso movie news segment. This is what we talk about. Is it true that Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher are hit with divorce rumors? The rumors are true. Are they true, though? The rumors are true. But is it true that that's really happening? We're also going to talk about other celebrity divorces, hot beach bops. Most importantly, what's going on with the Biebs? Curtis Earth, we need a Justin Bieber update. What's going on with the Biebs?
Well, right now he's talking about building his own ark.
What?
Filled with believers and their cats.
Believers and their cats?
Yes.
Is it... to save themselves from an oncoming storm? Or is it just an arc to have?
Yeah, it's a reality show.
Oh, it's a reality show.
It's going to be a reality show.
There you go. That's your
Bieber's guess. Arc.
Bieber's arc.
Arc of the Bebenant.
The arc
a different arc.
Oh, it's a different arc. Yeah. I was thinking Noah's Arc. Yeah, you're talking Arc of the Bebenant.
See how I switched that script on you?
Thanks, Kurt, for the Biebs update. We appreciate that so much.
True life is stranger than fiction.
100%. Let's get into some movie news stories here. First off, a little bit of movie trivia for you, Kurt. Spider-Man, the one with Tobey Maguire, the first one.
The best one.
Came out in 2003. Can you tell me the very specific box office record that it set?
Set? Yeah, I would say 265.
No, I was looking for... It was the first movie to make $100 million opening weekend. Specifically, I think it made $103 million over Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The first movie ever to do that. When that happened, it blew people's minds.
Yeah.
Like, this movie made $100 million in just 3 days. That's insane. Now, Guardians of the Galaxy made $145 million opening weekend.
And people are like,
people are kind of like, I expected
could have been more.
I expected been more. 160. 165. It's crazy how box office has changed over that period of time. I bring that up because Spider-Man Homecoming is coming out here in just a few weeks, I believe, early July. And
it's tracking for...
It is tracking for... Congratulations, you're the lucky user. It's stupid ad popped up. Thanks a lot, Cinema Blend. It is tracking for about $135 million opening weekend. So more than the original Spider-Man, but not that much more.
It's got Iron Man.
Now, if you think about it, The Amazing Spider-Man... in 2012, had an opening weekend of $62 million. That's the Andrew Garfield one. And then the sequel to that had a $92 million opening weekend. So it's looking to make quite a lot more than the last two Spider-Man movies anyway.
Right.
Which is what the reason why they didn't go back to The Amazing Spider-Man well. Because they're like, this isn't making as much money as a Spider-Man movie should make. One that set box office records 10, 12 years ago should be doing great now.
Yeah.
You know, and not kind of middling. Speaking of a movie that did middling and comic books... The Dredd movie. Judge Dredd.
Judge Dredd, yeah.
Came out in 2012.
I did not see it.
Bombed. No one saw it. What? Bombed in the box office.
You just mean Dredd.
Dredd. Yeah, well, I'm saying Judge Dredd to clarify to people. Judge Dredd. Dredd movie came out 2012. Bombed. No one saw it. Because it was September. Bad release date. It was like right around Labor Day.
Such an amazing movie.
Great movie. So gritty and fun. Brutal. And dirty and brutal. And just, I love it. It's a fun, fun movie. And never going to get the sequel to it because it just... They don't think the money's there, unfortunately, despite the cult following that's built up around
it. But Florence Foster Jenkins, that gets made.
Fuck yeah, that gets made.
What is? I don't understand Hollywood.
You better get a sequel, Foster Florence Jenkins 2.
It's easy for you to say.
Fury Road. Hey, that old chestnut.
Fury voice.
Entertainment Weekly is reporting that some of the producers of that 2012 version of Dredd, they have struck a deal with FX to produce Judge Dredd, Mega City 1.
Cool. I mean, FX has been knocking it out of the park recently with their stuff.
FX has had good TV shows. The Fargo shows. Atlanta is really good. People vs. OJ.
I mean, is that Deadpool?
They're doing a Deadpool animated show. With Danny Glover's producing it. Probably going to be the voice of Deadpool. And now they're doing a show not necessarily centered on the Judge Dredd character.
But Mega City 1.
But set in Mega City 1 and featuring a whole bunch of judges, Dredd among them.
Okay.
So I'm looking for... I'll watch a Dredd show.
Yeah.
You ever read the comics, Kurt?
No.
Never. They've been around since the 70s.
They've been around for a while.
Yeah.
But they're also across the pond over there in England.
Yeah. I was a Spider-Man, Fantastic Four comic book collector.
Oh, yeah?
Those are my two go-to, yeah.
Okay, sure. Marvel, then.
Marvel.
That's Drew. Drew's a Marvel guy.
Yep.
hear about Johnny Depp's money problems?
No.
What, he has too much?
He's getting divorced, so he got divorced,
He got divorced, and that's a lot of the fallout from his money problems have come from that divorce, because he can't keep up with some payments. His money people, his managers have come to him, be like, you have to sell this, you have to sell that, we have to reverse ship, and Johnny Depp is not budging with his expenses.
You would think he'd be loaded by now. He's done 30
You would think that. As a matter of fact, Kurt, in his 13-plus years working for this company, TMG. What, are you tapping your teeth for? Do I got something on my teeth? Oh, you're tapping your teeth like that.
What would it matter? This is
Drew
radio.
I'm tapping a piece of plastic on my teeth.
I'm so confused. He's looking at me and going like this. I'm like, what? Resin on my teeth or something? Yeah, exactly. That's a face, the exact face you were making, a psycho face. Johnny Depp, in his 13 years with this company, TMG, they're now suing each other for money mismanagement. Either way, both same, they managed the money, mismanaged the money. He made $650 million in that 13-year span.
How do you blow $650 million?
If he only did the Caribbean movies, he would be set for 10 lifetimes. How is this?
Do one Caribbean
movie. You couldn't
movie.
Spend all that money in a lifetime. So how did he lose it?
He
made $50 million for the last one. That's how that's how he agreed to make a fourth one. Disney was just straight up, we will give you $50 million because these movies make $1 billion worldwide.
Yeah.
You guys keep asking how? Here we go with an article, guys. The 11 top things that Johnny Depp has spent his money on. An increasing amount of money. So, at the bottom, $30,000 per month on...
I'm close to that myself.
Fair enough.
I'm still paying the rent.
Fair enough. And it's also considered, flown in from all over the world, it's considered personal consumption, that $30,000 in wine. $200,000 per month for flying in private jets.
He got used to that cushy lifestyle, and jet fuel is... cheap.
You see where this is going?
Uh-huh.
And it's escalating quickly. $400,000 for a single diamond cuff. And this was a spur of the moment decision.
He needs to stop buying jewelry immediately.
Right.
Yeah, that's
a jewelry problem. Guitars.
Mm.
Millions of dollars on guitars. He has over 70 in his collection.
And how many of them does he play?
All of them. Here's a picture of him in his P band. P. Remember we were just talking about P?
Yeah.
That's a picture of Johnny Depp.
You know what? I have 6 guitars.
That's a lot of guitars already.
That's a lot. I have friends of mine, though, that are around my age that have, like, you know, close to 30 guitars.
That's a ton of guitars.
Right.
Are you friends with Eric Clapton?
No, the thing is, if you come across a great deal and you happen to have that, you know, that...
And you know the know-how, you know, I know that's a great deal on this guitar.
It's a great deal, and and some guitars actually go up in value.
Sure, they do. So, they can be investments.
Right. Yep. So I'm at the precipice now of possibly buying this Gibson guitar.
Ooh.
But I'm just thinking, I've already got all the guitars that I really want.
Yeah.
They sound good to me.
Yeah. What would be the point of buying the
Gibson? What am I buying another guitar? So he's got 70 guitars.
70.
It makes no sense.
At that point, you have 60. Like, do I need a seventh? He has 70, and he's like, I need 71. Yeah.
And some of mine are basses. One's a ukulele. Two are acoustic. So it's not like...
They're still guitars.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're not all a bunch of... I bet you he has 76 strings.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a goddamn mandolin in the bunch. he has spent... we don't have a specific... Do we have a specific number on this one? It just says he has spent millions on artwork.
Okay. All right, see, that'll do, like that's Drew what was that saying, can accrue, with the jewelry and the artwork, that can accrue.
Oh, not necessarily losing money. It's not like you're drinking.
Jewelry is like buying cars. You lose money immediately.
Yeah.
Because jewelry is only worth what you can sell it back for, which is not much.
Hopefully he can flip some of his money, get some of his money back on his millions that he spent on Hollywood memorabilia. So much Hollywood memorabilia, in fact, that he has 12 storage facilities to hold them all.
Jesus.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's hoarding now.
We're talking about well-financed, highly organized hoarding. Yes. Hunter S. Thompson, part of his funeral plans, he wanted his ashes put into fireworks and shot off of a 200-foot cannon at his property.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp paid for that to happen. This is funny. Johnny Depp... No, his manager said that Johnny Depp spent $3 million to make that cannon. Johnny Depp says that that's how poor they are at money management. He actually spent $5 million. He's like, they don't even know how much money I spent on that cannon. I spent $5 million. They think I spent $3 million.
All right, so hold on. This is the thing.
What's the thing?
$650 million you said he was valued at.
Yeah.
Just the interest and dividends on that much money should be able to take care of your everyday things and buying the odd cannon to shoot your friend's remains every now and then.
Yes.
Should be able to, you know what I'm saying?
But it's still, no, not when you're spending 3.6. Not when you're spending up. $3.6 million every year for your 40-person staff. Not when you're doing that, Bert. Or when you're spending $5.35 million for the three islands that you own in the Bahamas.
Okay.
All right, I mean, or...
The fucking property taxes on those islands alone has got to be ridiculous.
The first thing he sold when his managers were like, you are out of money, the first thing he sold was his $18 million 156-foot yacht, which was staffed. Mm-hmm. And he had to pay for the fuel. It required $350,000 a month in maintenance.
Oddly enough, that's the last thing I would sell.
The boat would be the last thing
you sold? I'd get rid of the jewelry and the art.
First thing you sold was the boat. You know who bought it? J.K. Rowling.
Of course. Because she can afford that shit now.
He has 14 residences around the world that require... that he spent $75 million to buy them and renovate them, which includes 5 penthouse apartments in downtown L.A., a working horse farm in Kentucky, and his 45-acre chateau in the south of France where he's lived for years, and where his... Not his ex-wife, but they never got married, but his baby mama and his two children still live there on that chateau.
French woman, actress.
Of parodies...
Yeah, Valerie Paradis.
Valerie. They still live out there. So that is how you blow $650 million. Huge monthly expenses that you just keep adding on to. So if you think you're bad with money, because I know I'm bad with money, Johnny Depp is taking it to a whole new level.
But you know, he could just sell it all tomorrow.
He could liquidate it and
just
have money.
Get back to being super rich.
Yes, he could. That's the thing. That's what his managers whom he has since fired, and they're suing each other. That's what his managers have been arguing. He's mismanaged his own lifestyle. He can easily get his money back, and he's refusing to, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a big thing there.
What a terrible problem to have.
Too much money to understand. Yeah, right? The rich does live better than us, Kurt. It is time for Billy D.
Heavy.
Death of the Movies.
There's that word again. Heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull?
Here we go. Billy D hits us up almost every week. He missed last week, and Drew reads it. Drew, take it away.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy?
Sorry for the missed communique last week.
It's okay.
I was on location interviewing the directors of the Art of Brooklyn Film Festival.
Really? Likely story.
I'm the technical director, and I've seen almost all the films that we are screening this year.
Nice.
We have some really special film treats for the NYC area listeners, so please come check out the Art of Brooklyn Film Festival. It's going to be rad.
Awesome.
I caught Colossal last week.
Oh, what? We're going to see Colossal this week.
It was outstanding. This
movie's playing at the Enzian, Kurt, they're talking about right now.
One of the best of the year. I instantly loved this movie and think it's yet another genre classic from Nacho Vigalondo. This man is 4 for 4 in my book. Colossal is about a young woman played by Anne Hathaway, who is a bit of a mess. She's lost her job, her boyfriend, and her apartment. She also has a drinking problem and a psychic link to a kaiju.
Mm.
There are so many fun moments in this film. I'd hate to spoil anything but the premise.
Yeah, please don't.
But this is a great film about responsibility, strength, and love, and growing to unbelievable sizes, inside as well as out. Jason Sudeikis and Dan Stevens are also very good in this. See it as soon as you can.
All right.
I caught an odd little Welsh/Irish film this week, A Dark Song. This movie is pretty great. It's a feature debut for the director, Liam Gavin. It stars Steve Oram from some other UK horror films I enjoy, The Canal and Ben Wheatley's Sightseers. This film is basically a hyper-realistic depiction of a months-long necromancy ritual from the days of ancient pagans.
What?
It's some real-ass Aleister Crowley shit. It's dark, it's fucked up, and it's so good. Susan Lonahan plays Victoria, a grieving mother who wants to talk to her son again. She hires an occultist, and they hole up in a country mansion for a few months, attempting to use dark magic to contact the angels that guard heaven. Some top-notch horror ensues. This film is all mood and atmosphere. You feel the tension and isolation. I also caught I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore.
What?
The Melanie Lynskey, Elijah Wood black comedy from Macon Blair. This is great. It's funny and touching and violent and weird. I can't wait for more from Blair, either in front of or behind the camera at this point. He's won my I'll See Anything He Does prize. See these movies. Stay cool, Billy D.
That last one, I don't... What is it? I don't feel
at home in this world anymore.
I Don't Feel at Home is on Netflix.
Yes.
For sure. It's on Netflix, so you can see that there. A Dark Song, I'm not sure where that's at, in Colossal. We're going to see it at the end scene, but it's going to be... It's still rolling out, so we'll be able to see that eventually. We appreciate that Billy hit him up on Twitter and other social media at I Love Blood. He's a nice guy. Trust me. He's a good guy. Real quick, it's going to be the shortest one yet, but it's time for that Vox Populi.
That moment you've all been waiting for, the world famous
Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi.
What you say, what you say, what you say, what?
In the Vox Populi, you can email us your questions, topic suggestions, movie reviews, the cinema, crespediso@gmail.com, and then we read them on the show, we talk about them, break them down, etc., etc. Didn't really get anything this week, but we know what we also read on the show sometimes that we did get this week? iTunes reviews.
Oh, nice.
And we got an iTunes review. We want iTunes reviews, people. If you like the show, you want to help us out, and you listen on iTunes, and I know at least half the show does, or half the audience does, I see the metrics. Rate us and review us on iTunes in the iTunes store. It only takes a couple minutes and helps us out so much. We got a 5-star review from past guest of the show, Big Tim Murphy.
Nice.
What a great guy. He writes the headline, Come for Movies, Stay for Laughs. His review is, It is a great show.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Tim.
Awesome.
What a nice guy. I'm surprised he didn't add a baby in there, though.
I know, right?
I'm gonna read like Tim would have read it. It is a great show, baby. There you go.
All right, baby.
He's a great guy. You guys have to meet this dude, Kurt. He's an interesting fella. He does stand-up comedy around town. Always wears overalls. He's bringing back the overall look.
He should see Baby Driver. So we can say he can see other people saying baby all the time.
Yeah, baby. He's like, I'm going to go see Baby Driver.
Baby.
I'm going to see Baby Driver, baby. Shout out to Big Tim. We appreciate it. Rate us and review us on iTunes. That would help us out a lot. And we'll read your review on the show. And you can rate anything. It doesn't have to be a compliment. Rate us 5 stars. Write anything you want in the review section. And
we'll read it.
And we'll read it. We'll read your crazy manifestos.
Doesn't even have to be a review of our show.
Doesn't even have to mention the show.
No. We can say whatever it wants.
As long as we get that 5-star rating.
That's what matters.
And something written in there, and then you hit enter.
Yes.
If you want to rate us 5 stars and then shit on the show.
Fine, I'll read it.
Do that. And then we'll read it.
No.
Yeah,
like these guys are great at being horrible. Yes. I gave it 5 stars.
Yes, 5 stars, that being a terrible show.
Yeah,
correct.
They're the best at that.
We will read it, and we will thank you for the 5 stars. You were awesome.
I was going to say, by the way, I like the picture you posted.
Awesome picture, nice. Right? That's why it's a good vibe.
Got the shirt in there, too. I appreciate it.
Got the shirt in there, exactly. It's the end of the show, which means it's time for... There we go.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
Here we go. Jumping out of 2 liquid situations into 1 lightning round. Kurt, I have 10 questions and I need 10 answers. Are you ready?
Okay, yeah.
Drew, start that clock.
Go.
Number 1, baked beans for breakfast. Yay or nay?
Yeah.
Number 2, is this the end of the world as we know it?
Yes.
Number three, where in time is Carmen Sandiego?
1917.
Ah, good sleuthing, Gumshoe. Number four, outer space or the ocean?
The ocean.
Number five, would you consider a career as a space pirate?
No.
No? All right, I'll put these brochures away. Number six, how do you treat those who disrespect you?
By cutting them out of my circle.
No, thank goodness you finished that sentence. When you start talking about cutting, I was like, oh my goodness, do not cross Curtis Earth. Number eight, live magic or Dead Sea Scrolls?
Live magic.
Number nine, what happened to Peter Gabriel?
Oh, he shocked the monkey.
He did shock that monkey. Finally, number 10, Domo Arigato, Mr.
Roboto.
Ah, Drew. Grab those swag bags, if you don't mind. Curtis knows what we're doing here. It's swag bag time. We got the blue bag with the dots. We got the purple bag. Which one do you might want to go home with today?
I'm going to go with the electric purple.
Nice. Here we go. Drew, if you don't mind, break out the bag and let Kurt know what he may get to go home with, if he so chooses.
Sir, you may get to go home with the wrong quarry. The first publication anywhere by the author of Road to Perdition, Max Allen Collins. It's a hard case crime book.
Nice.
All right.
Some hard-boiled fiction there.
I need to reread.
We've got Night Glow glow sticks, glows for hours to get carry cords, and they're yellow.
There you go. Yellow glow sticks, so you can read by the yellow glow light your hard-boiled fiction.
You've got a grow and glow zombie. I assume you put it in the water and it may glow in the dark after it grows.
And then you can read the book with the glow stick to the zombie.
Ooh, and if you set it in for 3 days, if it sits in the water for 3 days, it gets super huge, apparently. And then it will
see how absorbent it gets.
Maximum growth will take about 1 week, apparently.
Leave that thing in the water for a week.
I'll throw it in someone's swimming pool.
See what happens.
Without them knowing.
What is this?
Why is this thing growing?
You also got a CinemaCrest release, a bootleg copy of the movie Rocky Balboa.
Nice. Great movie. Fantastic sequel.
A bunch of stickers and let's see here. Fleer Ultra 9495 Jason Kidd rookie card.
Nah. Jason Kidd, get out of town.
That card is worth at least $1.35. So you can have all that, or as you know, we put all that stuff, we put it in the bag, we put it away, and you take what's in the box that Drew has right over here. Look at that box. He's lifting it so heavy, he's lifting it.
What's in the fucking box?
So, Kurt, you can take what's in the box. Or
I never take what's in the box.
That's right. I think you took the one time, the first time.
Yeah.
Got an ice cream maker. One of the better gifts that someone's got.
Probably
from the box.
Best gift.
I still have it. I still haven't made any ice cream.
Make some ice cream, buddy. And then you can take all. You got the book. You got the glow sticks. You have the zombie that grows in water. Leave it in a pool for a week.
A shitty DVD.
That may or may not work. Well, but it's a good movie, though.
It's a movie again. Is
Rocky Balboa, which is the last Rocky one before Creed.
Yeah.
And it's actually, man, I'd say good. If you watch Rocky and then Rocky Balboa, the first one and the sixth one back to back, it's like, this is amazing. Oh, or, take what's in the box that we have right over here.
All right, I'm going to take what's in the box.
Yes, oh, man.
I'm switching the script. Flipping the script here.
Pop that top, reach in there. Reach in there and see what we got. Go ahead and
we have read writing movies for profit. How We Made $1 Billion at the Box Office, and You Can Too, by Robert Ben Garant and Thomas Lennon. Domo arigato, better rigid crespo, tobo.
Domo.
Domo arigato, better rigid crespo, domo.
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 Hey, there you go.
You wanted something to read.
You
got something to read. And those guys did make lots of money writing for Hollywood.
I made $1 million off of this, and then...
Well, it's a very discouraging, depending on your point of view, because the very first step in that book on the very first page is move to L.A.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because you pretty much have to.
Yeah, it goes, move to Los Angeles.
Do you think you still have to in this day and age?
L.A. or New York.
The problem is meetings, and... People still like face-to-face meetings as opposed to Skype it.
Yep.
It is absolutely possible physically to not have to be there as a writer, but they still want you there physically for a lot of things. It's a pain in the butt. But there you go. Yeah, a book, a reading material. And they're funny guys, so it's not just instructional. It's for humor.
I appreciate it. Like I said, I need a new summer read.
There you go.
It's a new summer.
And summer's here. Kurt, thank you so much for your 8th appearance. We appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. I had a great time. I always have a great time with you dudes.
Thank you so much, man.
Everyone, keep listening to the podcast. That is Cinema Crespediso.
Hell yeah, that is right. Drew, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you everyone for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Rate us and review us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Email us cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. Be excellent to each other. Read more books. Break up the big banks. stuff your money in your mattresses and buy art as an appreciable commodity.
From Johnny Depp.
From Johnny Depp.
Because he needs the money.
He has a fire sale. Peace.